We're going to speak about Rosh Hashanah. The parsha before Rosh Hashanah is always Nitzavim Vayelech, Nitzavim. And the pasuk starts at the beginning of the parsha, Atem Nitzavim Hayayim Kolchem Lifnei Hashem Lekechem. That this is a parsha that warns us that you are standing here today before Hashem. And that is a call to do tshuva. It's a call to recognize the fact that we are standing in the presence of Hashem and that we have an opportunity, hachazireinu b'seshuva shlema lefanecha. As we stand before Hashem, we are encouraged and we are urged by Hashem himself to engage in the process of tshuva because there is a din upon us and the din requires that we feel this sense of longing to come back to the Rabbeinu Shalom's embrace. And when it says kolchem, that word in the pasuk, that also triggers a response from us in terms of our approach to Rosh Hashanah. Because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we always try to find a way to win in din. Obviously, if you know that you're going to be prosecuted, so you'll hire the best defense attorneys and you'll try to find the best way to be found innocent. And the Svarim say that it's very hard going into the din of Rosh Hashanah expecting that on my own I'll be able to get through the din. Even if we think that we had a good year, and I'm sure we all did, but there are so many averis that we have done, b'yaydim uvelayaydim. There are so many averis that we might not even be aware that they were averis. We might not even be aware of opportunities that we squandered, or time that we wasted, or things that we saw, or things that we listened to, or things that we spoke about, or things that we thought about. And if we think that by going into din as a yachid, that me myself will be able to pass the din, then the Svarim say that you're naive. Umiyamay lefanecha badin, we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, who stands before you in din and expects to be found innocent? It's very, very hard. There is an eitzah that's found in all the Sifrei Musar about how exactly we could get through this din of Tavshin Pehei and have a Mirtz Hashem, a wonderful year, a Ksiva Chasima Taiva, a Shana Taiva Mesuka. How do we do that? And the Svarim say that when you're mitzarif yourself to a tzibur, when you shift gears from being a yachid, from being an individual, to being somebody that is shayach to the tzibur, and somebody that the tzibur depends upon, and we'll speak about this later, how you do this, but as soon as a person is able to somehow become a tzibur mensch, a person that is shayach to the tzibur, he has a far better chance of getting through the din that way. Because we know that there's Mekairis that a tzibur never dies, a yachid dies. A tzibur never dies. Gemiri delekalya shiftaya. A shevet in Klal Yisrael is never liquidated. A shevet in Klal Yisrael is never ended. So if we're somehow able to attach ourselves to Klal Yisrael as a whole, to the tzibur as a whole, to the community, to the society that we're in, that is the way to get through din. Atem nitzavim hayayim kolchem. We have to somehow find ourselves, kulchem lefnei Hashem, all of us together as a tzibur, we could get through the din. With this as a yisaid, it answers a lot of questions that the Bali Musar bring. For example, we find a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that in Rosh Hashanah, kol bay olam Yavron lefanecha kivnei marin, which is something that we know about this nusach. If not from the Mishnah, we probably know about it if it sounds familiar from the highlight of of davening on Yom Nairam of Unisana Taikef, that we go through the din Kivnei Marin. We pass through before Hashem Kivnei Marin. It's Machlekes and Gemara what this means. One of the Pshatim is Kivnei Amarna, like sheep that go through a little gate. A little gate, sheep pass through one at a time when you have to take Meiser, the tenth sheep, you put like some red dye on, and that's the one that's earmarked to go towards Meiser, but they go single file. That's how we go on Rosh Hashanah. But then the Gemara continues, V'chulan niskarim b'skira achas. Even though that we come through din single file, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu glances over us in a totality. B'skira achas, he gives us an overall aerial view glance of us as part of the klal. And the Balei Musar say that this is the choice that we have on Rosh Hashanah. We could either be Kivnei Amarna, but that's not such a good idea. Or we also have the option of being Mitztarif ourselves to put ourselves into the Tzibur and say, I'm not an individual, I'm a part and parcel of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And when we go into Rosh Hashanah with that mindset, that's a zchus in din, because that way we'll be able to pass through the din as a tzibur. And once you're a card-carrying member of the tzibur, now you have a different status in Hashem's eyes. Now you're part of the tzibur that survives. And there's a cute story that's told about a student in a law school class. And, you know, these law school classes are not like Lander College that you have just a few, maybe 5, 10, 15 people in a class. There could be hundreds and hundreds of people sitting in this gigantic room taking a test or taking the course together. And obviously it's very hard for professors to have an individual one-on-one relationship with a student. And there was once a test, a big test that the professor was proctoring. And at the end of the test, he says, okay, everybody put your pencils down. And the test is now officially over. And there was one kid, there was one student that he kept on going even after the teacher said this. And it was 5 minutes, it was 10 minutes. And, you know, it took time for everyone to go bring their papers up. And this kid was still 15 minutes later writing answers. And the professor says, well, young man, please come up to the front of the class. I said 10 minutes, 15 minutes ago that the test is officially over. And he takes a few more minutes. He comes up at the end and he says, I'm going to have to fail you. I warned you that the pencil's down, I meant it, and you just kept on writing. So this young man says, excuse me, professor, do you have any idea who I am? Do you have any idea who you're talking to? He says, I have no idea who you are. There's 150 kids in this class. I have no idea who you are, but it doesn't matter. He says, good. And he takes the whole pile of tests, these hundreds of tests, and he shtips his test in the middle of all of them. He like pats it down. He says, here you go, and he walks out. And the professor obviously has no idea how to track this guy, how to trace this guy, how to fail this guy. But it's sort of a cute story that illustrates what is going on in Din. Obviously, it's simplistic, but you get the point that if you just are alone in Din, if your test is there and Hashem is marking our tests, it's going to be very, very difficult grade that we're going to get, Chas V'Shalom, because it's really, really hard to have a good grade in over the course of a whole year. But if you could somehow get your test paper into this big stack of test papers of Klal Yisrael and you're mitzdarif yourself to a tzibur, now you're sort of much more likely to get through the din in a successful manner. This also, by the way, will answer a different stira that the Balei Musar bring up, that there is a tour, very well-known tour this time of year, Tafkuf Pei Aleph in Aruch Hayim, that Klal Yisrael is very different than a regular person that goes through judgment. Normally, if a person goes through judgment, the Torah describes it as being, you wear dark clothing, you're like an avelos. Can you imagine going through a court case and you know that the judge is looking over everything and they have great lawyers and you're going to really be grilled. And, you know, it's very frightening to go through a court case. Even if you go for a parking ticket, people get very nervous to go to court. Alachas kama v'kama if you're going through something really, really serious. And a person normally doesn't shave and he doesn't get a haircut and he's all unkempt and he's scared and he's shaking, he's shivering, he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's in turmoil. But Klal Yisrael says the Torah is different. Klal Yisrael, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we go get a haircut and we take a shower and we shave and we wear nice clothing, we wear white clothing, we don't wear dark clothing like that's probably where the Sfardim get the minig from, that they, you know, in Rosh Hashanah, they wear these white suits and everything because this is what the Torah says. The Torah says that we wear white and we eat and we drink and we dip the apple in the honey. We do like all sorts of beautiful things. It doesn't seem to be a court case even. It just seems to be like a regular yontif. And yet, on the other hand, it seems to contradict the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, that says that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though it seems like a day that it would be a beautiful day to say Hallel, right? Why? Because, you know, it's that tour, by the way, ends that the reason why we eat and we drink and we seem to celebrate is because we have bitachon Hashem that a nes will happen to us. We will be able to get through the din miraculously. All right, if it's a nes, so then we should say Hallel. We say Hallel on Hanukkah because of a nes, and it would be a beautiful. Imagine if you would imagine a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with a Hallel. It would be beautiful. You have a chazan. And some places have choirs. It would be a beautiful opportunity to sing Hallel on Rosh Hashanah to the Eibishter. It's a very holy day. It would be very nice. And the Gemara says that really, technically, you should be able to say Hallel because it's a mayed and it's ikdash basiyas malacha and you throw in the nes. It has every criteria to say Hallel. There's only one problem. Sifrei Chayim is Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanov, that the book of life and the book of death are open in front of us or in front of Hashem, and we're so scared that we can't say Hallel. The Rambam explains that these are not days of Simcha, these are days of Ema, of Afachad, these are days that we have to be full of trepidation and fear, and so we can't say Hallel. Even though we should, we don't, because it's not a day, we have to be in a certain happy, joyous frame of mind to say Hallel, which we don't have, unfortunately, on Rosh Hashanah. So it seems a contradiction. On one hand, the Torah seems to say that we should be happy. It's like a yontif. We eat, we drink, we celebrate. And then on the other hand, we don't say Hallel. So what's going on? And again, this discrepancy between your attitude and how you're coming into Rosh Hashanah plays a very big role. Because the reason why we don't say Hallel is because in general, Klal Yisrael should be nervous. We should be afraid. We should be full of pachad because it is. There's an emes adin. You have to be afraid. If you're being judged, you have to be afraid that, you know, I don't know what my din is like. In fact, it's brought, the Mishnah Berurah brings that, you know, there's, don't be surprised if like in the morning of Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden you start, you know, feeling like shaking and nervous and trembling because that's the time that you're being judged. You might not be able to know when you're being judged, but your mazel, there's a part of you that does know. It's a scary thing. Din is a very scary thing. But the reason why, at the same time, we wear nice clothing and we take a haircut and we eat and we drink and we act in certain ways very yontif dik, is because we have an opportunity to get through din b'nes, and how do we do that? By making ourselves a part of the tzibur, by being mitzarif ourselves to the tzibur, coming into din with a resolve that I'm not an individual, I'm part of the tzibur. By doing that, we will be able, mirtz Hashem, to get through this otherwise frightening din. Rav Shach brings that a story that Rav Meir Simcha, the great Meshech Chachma, the Ar Sameach, he was once very sick around this time of year. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was sitting by his bedside and, you know, being mispallel for him. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Chanan has a great idea. He says that, I think it's a good idea, and he asked Rabbi Meir Simcha for a shus, to send telegrams to all the yeshivas throughout Europe to daven for a Meir Simcha. Every yeshiva should be davening for a Meir Simcha. He should have a refuah shleima. And Rabbi Meir Simcha says, I don't want this to take place. And Rabbi Chanan asks, why? So he says, because I don't want to be mentioned alone. I only want to be part of Klal Yisrael. I want to be mitzdarif myself to the tzibor as one unit of Klal Yisrael. But once I'm like singled out, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, now I'm an individual. Now I have a spotlight on me. I don't want a spotlight on me on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The last thing you want to do is call attention to yourself. You want to sort of be part of the tzibor. You want to be just as a like an undetectable part of the conglomerate of Klal Yisrael. B'soich ami anechi yeshavis. I just want to sit amongst my people. I don't want to sit in any way that I would be standing out on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And it's interesting that Rabbi Chanan himself was nayig the same way, that the gabbai in the yeshiva wanted to call him up for an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Obviously, he's a Rosh Yeshiva. He's entitled to an aliyah. And he says, I don't want an aliyah. Very strange. I never heard of a Rosh Yeshiva or anyone not getting an aliyah, not wanting an aliyah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, especially because the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should be mishtadel, should try as best as he can to arrange somehow to get an aliyah on the Yom Nerum, to get a kibbutz on Yom Nerum. That's what, you know, whenever they auction off aliyahs in yeshiva, the person that's auctioning it off, he always starts the auction, quoting this Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, because it's a great sales pitch. The Mishnah Berurah is telling me I should try to get an aliyah. So, you know, you start raising your hand to bid on the aliyahs. But Rabbi Chanan did not want, and they asked him, what do you mean? You know, I thought you're supposed to get a kibbutz, you're supposed to get an aliyah, try to get an aliyah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He says, I know that that's the halacha, I know. He says, but I don't want to be called up to the Torah as Yamayid Rabbi Chanan Bunim ben Rabbi Yamin Benish. I don't want that. Once I'm called up as that, now I'm an individual, and I'm now there's a glaring light on me. I don't want a glaring light on me. I want to be able to just mesh into the tzibor undetected, and I want to be a part. I just want to be a part of the tzibor. I don't want any. And I guess he had this messiah from his experience with the Meir Simcha, I imagine. I don't know the chronology of these events, but it's very possible that he got this Messiah from that incident with the Meir Simcha. Meir Simcha said the exact same thing. I don't want to have any, I want to just be a part of the Tzibar on the Yom Nerum. So now that we've established this importance of being a part of a Tzibar in order to get through the Din, now we have to discuss a little bit about how you do that. What does it mean to be a part of the tzibor? Obviously, we're all davening in a tzibor, where we have our seats and we have our machzor, and we're prepared to be a part of the tzibor in that way. But again, we go to the Sifrei Musar and how they describe what it means to be part of the tzibor. You know, I once had a Rebbe in high school. I think it was in 12th grade. And he used to, he would say, how much would a person pay to be able to have every person in the world, and including all the Gedolei Yisrael, davening for you every Shabbos, that you should never have a machla, Rachman al-Islan, you should never get any dreaded diseases, and you should have bracha, you should have hatzlacha, and whatever you do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always give you chayin, and all good stuff. How much would you pay for that every Shabbos to have that zchus? You know, if a person would have the money, pay millions of dollars to have a Klal Yisrael davening for me that I should never have a machla and I should have bracha v'atzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadayim. It's unbelievable. So he says there's a way to do this without spending money, and that is by being oisek b'tzarchei tzibor b'amuna. If a person is involved with the tzarchei tzibur, the needs of the klal, be'amuna, with faithfulness, and you really mean it, and you do it with trustworthiness and with responsibility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single Shabbos by Musaf, we say, V'chol mishayis mitzarchei tzibur amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisham schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you. V'yaser mehem kol machala, all machlas will be removed from you. You'll have slicha. You'll have forgiveness for all your averis. Everything that you touch will turn to gold. All neschus of being Isaac b'tzarchei tzibur amuna. That's what we're talking about when we speak about being people that the tzibur needs, being mitzdarif yourself to the tzibur. It means that you have to do things that the tzibur depend upon. And the people, those individual people that sometimes we don't even know who does certain things, but those individuals that see a tzibur and they say, I am going to step to the plate and I'm going to take care of the things that the tzibur require, the tzibur need, those are people that are guaranteed all the brachas, all the atzlacha, the slicha, the mechil, the chapara of getting through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with almost like a free pass. And you don't lose by being Isaac b'tzarchei tzibur b'emunah. As much as you think that I don't have time and it's going to cost me, I can't afford. I'm not going to be able to work as much. I'm not going to be able to spend time with my family as much. And all those are true, and those are considerations, obviously. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that somehow you'll have time and you'll have the wherewithal to do everything that you want and then some. If you're Isaac b'tzarchei tzibur b'emunah, you do not lose out by being Isaac b'tzarchei tzibur. I'll tell you a story. Again, going back to my high school years, I had a friend who he was a big tzibur man. He was always very worried about the tzibur, about the yeshiva at large. I went to Long Beach, and he was so every Shabbos since the beginning of ninth grade. I don't know why he chose this, but one of the things that he did was every erev Shabbos he would go to the local supermarket in Long Beach. It was called Waldbaum's at the time. Today it's called Stop and Shop, I think. But then it was called Waldbaum's. And he would go into the supermarket. He would buy, I never know how to describe this. I really should get it straight. It was like, not pickles, but it's like the shayurakis of pickles, you know, it has like sauerkraut in it and all types of things floating around. You know, it's, anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, and what? Okay, I don't know. But so he would buy one of those jars, and then he would buy like a Reisman brownie, and he would basically put the brownie in his locker. He'd put the pickles in the refrigerator, the public refrigerator, and everybody knew that if they wanted to have, like, you know, Friday night they're learning or Shabbos afternoon they're learning, and they're getting a little hungry and they want a piece of cake or they want something, you know, something else, they would go to his locker, they'd go to the refrigerator and they would take, and it was a very, very, like, appreciated gesture that he did. Wasn't necessarily the richest guy in yeshiva, but he earmarked money in every single Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, he would have this for the yeshiva. Something for the tzibur. The tzibur depended on it. The tzibur enjoyed it. In 12th grade, going fast forwarding 4 years, he went to Waldbaum's. It was towards the end of the year. He's getting his thing, and he put his hand on the shelf to get pickles, to get that jar. And one of the jars of pickles was cracked, and he cut his hand on that jar. He started bleeding, and the manager comes running over, and you know, gets him, I don't know, band-aids, cleans it up a little bit, brings him into the office, and says that, you know, we want you to sign a waiver. They're afraid of getting a lawsuit, so, you know, it was their pshia. They shouldn't have cracked jars of pickles on their shelves. So, you know, we want you to sign a waiver. He says, I have to see, whatever. So he says, okay, fine, you're driving a hard bargain. We're gonna pay you, but you have to sign the waiver. He says, okay, fine. Now you're speaking my language. So he basically, he signs the waiver. They print him out a check. The check was for like a random number. It wasn't like an even number. It wasn't like $500. It wasn't $2,000. It was somewhere in between. It was like $1,376.38. Like a mudna number. Like a very like there's no rhyme or reason for the number. And came back to yeshiva and we were talking about it. And we made a cheshbon that if you take that amount that he spent every Erev Shabbos on the pickle and on these pickles and the brownies, and times it by the amount of Shabbosos that he did it for, it came out mamish bidiyuk to that number, that strange number. And because when you do anything for the tzibur, you don't lose that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yishalem Schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays the bills. There's nothing that you will lose out by being Eisei B'Tzachid. You will only gain. You will only gain. And there are so many ways, especially in a yeshiva, to be Eisek B'Tzarchei Tzivur Emunah. And of course, the obvious ways are, you know, the Gabayim, people that are in charge of davening, the Balei Tefillah, the Baal Kairi, the Baal, you know, hopefully the Rabbanim. All these people are Eisek B'Tzarchei Tzivur Emunah. We're trying to make the yeshiva, you know, have a minyan and have a good minyan, and people are misbalo, people offer to daven, and they step to the plate. Those are like the more obvious thing. Then there are people that operate behind the scenes. And you don't even know, like, when they do this. The example that I always give is, you come in the morning, let's say before Shacharis, or by breakfast, and you want a coffee during First Seder. And for some reason, today I think the urn is a little different, right? Today it's a self-filling urn. But in the olden days in yeshiva, it was a regular urn, and somebody had to fill it up. It wasn't going back too long before we redid the kitchen. There was just an urn, and somebody had to fill it up. And guess what? Every single morning it was full. Who filled it? Who was the guy that took that little hose by the side of the sink and spritzed it into the urn to fill it up? Nobody knows. It was a mystery. But somebody did it every single morning because, how do I know? Because every single morning there was an urn full of water and it was hot and everybody in yeshiva was able to enjoy. There are guys that bring down cups from upstairs. There's cups that are necessary to be had in the coffee room. Who brings down those? Sometimes you catch a glimpse of the malachim that, you know, bring down these cups. But somebody says, wait a minute, there are cups. I need a cup when I drink coffee. So, and there are no cups, or it looks like they're running out. So let me actually go up, take an elevator up to the fourth floor, get some cups, and actually put it into those things and make sure that the ilam has cups. Now, is that a huge deal? It's not a huge deal. It's just that person had the eyes of a tzibur. That person had the resolve that I don't just care about myself. I don't like if there was no cups, I would probably be the one to complain, hey, there are no cups here, as if they're supposed to, you know, come by themselves. They don't have feet cups. They have to be taken down and put in. But instead of complaining that, like, where's my cup? Why don't I have a cup? Where's the coffee? There are people that are constantly complaining about things, and then there are people that are doing things, and they're saying, I have a good idea. I'll take it upon myself to be that guy or to be one of those guys that actually bring the cups down and put them in the coffee rooms that there are cups when people need them. And the list goes on and on. Yeshiva, there's 1,000 different things to put the svarim away, you know, the yeshiva svarim, to put them back on the shelf, and to... if there's, you know, dirty tissues on the table and there's cups on the table before Shabbat, but even every day, be that guy that goes and cleans up the base of matters. You're not going to get paid for it necessarily. You're not going to get, you know, a big fanfare for it. But in Shemayim, these are things that matter. These are things that show Hashem that I'm not a private individual. I'm part of the tzibur. I'm an indispensable part of the tzibur. I'm a part of the tzibur that is really, really necessary. You know, you look out at Klal Yisrael at large, you see, like, you know, what people are doing for the Klal. You know, Hatzalah is always something that we take for granted, I think. You know, but it's mind-boggling, it's mind-blowing if you think about the level of dedication of Tzarchei Tzibur Emunah that every single Hatzalah member has to have. It's not a normal thing to be able to, you know, be on call day and night to respond to calls. You don't know who the person is. You don't know the person is either even Jewish for that matter. And you're going on Shabbos night, your family's sitting around the table, you just want to have a nice Shabbos Suda, your radio beeps and you see that it's like within your radius. And you have to leave your family, you have to leave your kids, your son's about to say his Dvar Torah, and your daughter's about to tell you something personal, and your wife wants you to try her new chicken, and all of a sudden you're out and you're gone for 3 hours, 4 hours, until you get the patient to the hospital and you stay there until... And this happens over and over again. It could be Rosh Hashanah night, it could be Yom Kippur, it could be Tainus Esther, it could be Purim. And these are people that mamish give lay the nefesh. It's not normal. The dedication, the indispensability that they have to the tzibur. What would our tzibur look like without Hatzalah? What would our tzibur look like without so many of the organizations that we rely on, the Misaskim organization for Shiva Minyanim and for Bar Minan cases and, you know, Chaverim for car issues and all the gemachs that do so much to lend money, to lend stuff to Klal Yisrael, and the list goes on. We have an endless list of people, the Bikur Chaylam room, if you're ever in a hospital, hopefully you're only in a hospital for good things if you're, you know, somebody has a baby, but very often, unfortunately, we're in hospitals for not good things, and you know, there's Bikur Chaylam rooms. I don't think there's any, you know, halal Bikur Chaylam rooms in the world, to my knowledge. I don't think there's any Puerto Rican Bikur Chaylam rooms or any African-American, I've never seen them. But I've seen in every hospital, at least in the tri-state area that I've been to, there's beautiful Bikur Chaylam rooms. They're stocked. Their shelves are stocked with candies and with kishka and with cholent and with gefilte fish and with you know, bakal mikol kol, whatever you want, sodas, and for what? Just because we're Jewish. There's somebody that comes and stocks these every single week. I think Satmar Bikur Chaylam, they're Satmar women who come on school buses to the hospitals, and this is all they do. They volunteer, they cook up, in, I guess, in public kitchens over there, chicken soup and gefilte fish and chicken and cholent and whatever, kishka, whatever it is, and they bring them to NYU and to Columbia and to Cornell and to Mount Sinai, and all the hospitals have these beautiful Bikur Chaylam rooms. And, you know, these are things that, these are real... These are people that they don't get paid. There's no glory. There's no honor. They're not being, you know, you'll never know who these people are. They just do their job and they do it b'emunah and they do it faithfully. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisham Scharim, whatever expenditures they have, whatever time they're spending, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it up to them. And he makes sure that they themselves are not chas v'shalom stricken by machlas, and they get slicha, mechila, kapara, all because you're a part of the tzibur. I'm not an individual anymore. As soon as I just in my mind decide that I'm going to be not a guy that sits on the periphery, on the sidelines, but I want to be a part of the yeshiva. I want to do things. I want to volunteer, maybe by joining student government, maybe by volunteering. I don't know if there's a tish that needs to be set up, if there's a mishmer that needs to be set up, if there's a masiba, you want to be a part of the mashgiach band, whatever it is that you want to do. Just you play an instrument, join. You know, tomorrow night we're having slichas. Bring your, if you're good, bring your guitar. We don't want any tryouts. We don't need you know, this isn't Mary Had a Little Net. You have to, you know what you're doing and come and. But if you're good, then you should definitely come in and be Mishnah. We're going to have 100 guitars. It's all good. But come and use your kaychas, use your gifts, and make the tzibur a better place. Whatever it is that you could do, use your, you know, your creativity and your artistic talents to do things in yeshiva. There's always a need for more and more volunteerism and dedication to the tzibur at large. If you know how to lane, then go to the gabbai and say, "I know how to lane. I'm a good balkairi. I'd like to join the rotation of balkairis. I know how to blow a shofar. I know how to daven for the amud. I could do a lot of things for whatever you could do. Bring them to the fore and be a part of the tzibur." That's the importance of being an Isaac B'tzarchei Tzibur Emunah, especially this time of year, because it's a schus in din when you're no longer a yachid going through the din, but rather you're part of the tzibur. I just want to make mention of the fact that you know, this year, Tavshin Pei Dalet was obviously a very, very difficult year. It's a year that is still shocking to anyone that has a heart, that has their finger on the pulse of the world and Klal Yisrael. What happened on October 7th, Simchas Torah last year, is still, you know, we're still reeling from, and it continues to be an ongoing crisis with the hostages that are still in Gaza, Rahman al-Utslan. And then the aftermath of Milchamas and how many Chayalim were lost over the course of the year and how many citizens were lost and the families that are suffering and the Parnassus that were lost. There's so much that we have to daven for this Rosh Hashanah, that it should be a much better year than we had last year. But if there was one Maila, I would say, of Tavshin Pei Dalet, if there's one lesson that might maybe a more positive lesson to take from Tavshin Pei Dalet, it was that Klal Yisrael came together in a very beautiful way in the aftermath of October 7th. Unfortunately, the way it is that often it takes a tzara to bring us together. But, you know, that's the way it is. Somebody wise once said that if the Arabs really want to, you know, chas v'shalom, cause harm to Klal Yisrael, they would make peace with us. Because once they make peace with us, now we're back at it. Now we're going to have the kitatis and the merivas chas v'shalom between each other. When things are good outside, that's when internally we start having strife. But when there's tough times outside, when the Arabs are making milchamas, that unites Klal Yisrael. And we saw a tremendous achdus this year, at least in the early part of the year. People were donating all types of things, you know, sending them over in duffel bags to the chayalim on the front lines and making barbecues for them and giving chizuk to people in hospitals and going on missions and davening for each other and caring for each other. And there was a great hispilus of tshuva. You found even people that were not Shomer Shabbos, but they lived through Nova, and they started putting on tefillin every day. They started davening every day. They started, you know, going and speaking about their horrors and how they're resolving to change. There was an upsurge of tremendous achdus in Klal Yisrael, kirov and achdus and ava ben adam l'chaveri. And maybe, you know, if we have one schus in din this year, Tavshin Pei, if there's one silver lining to the cloud of this past year, it's that we go into Tavshin Pei a little closer, a little bit more united, a little bit more caring about all Yidden, not just Yidden that we daven with in our little shtiebel and our little Dalet Amis, but Yidden of all stripes, whether they're from, whether they're not from, whether they're not yet from, whether they're, you know, modern Orthodox, whether they're Chiloni, it doesn't matter. We were one people this year. And we could be mitzdarif ourselves to the tzibor, each and every one of us, and bring that in as a great schus in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu this year. We showed that we're really an Am Echad. We're one nation, indivisible. And we care about each other. We daven for each other. Every single tefillah, no matter what shul you go into, they're saying tilim after davening every day. And they're making mishaberachs for the chayalim and for everybody. This achdus that we have, this renewed spirit of unity in Klal Yisrael, is perhaps the greatest chus that we will have coming into Tavshin Pei Hei, coming off of this very, very difficult year. But Emir Tzah Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look down on us, and he should see that we are all really trying to be mitzdarif ourselves, the general tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And in that schus, we should all, us and our Klal Yisrael as a whole, should be zeichet to aksiv v'chassim a teiva, a gutke ben shtiar lanu ul Klal Yisrael. Shalom.